Welcome to Soul-Led Living. I'm your host, Nikki Novo. I created this podcast so that you can hear, trust, and follow your intuition. Every week, I drop two episodes packed with intuitive messages that your divine team is dying for you to hear. So get your heart ready to receive exactly whatever it is that you are meant to receive. Let's do this. Messages about growing your audience. I'm so excited about this episode because I feel like it's a very service-based episode, like help me help you type of thing. I am, you know, feeling the audience. I'm feeling your community. I know that it might feel like this really annoying thing that we try to do every year, which is like grow our communities, grow our audiences, grow the client base. But honestly, I have never felt so excited and hopeful about this because people are really wanting to gather. And as much as I might sound like one of those marketers on TikTok, it is the best time to grow an audience or a community, however you want to phrase it. So it's a good time. And that is why I wanted to bring these messages. I know it's also just kind of like a common goal that a lot of us as business owners bring forward or think about in the new year. It's definitely a big thought for us this year. It's not every year, but this year and kind of towards like the end of last year, halfway through, we knew that this was going to be a year where we were going to invite more people in, you know? So it's on my mind. So of course I wanted to bring this to you. So at first I was pulling messages directly from your audience. So the first few messages are from your audience. And then later I went into like asking questions about growing the audience. So it's a little bit of a mix of both, but I really feel like you're going to enjoy it. Definitely bring a pen and a paper and write down what's coming through for you as I speak. Cause like always, not everything is going to be for you, but I think you're going to find a lot of things that you're like, yes, that's for me. And of course, when it comes to growing audience and inviting more people in, it's always going to be like what feels best for you, you know, what your intuition is telling you to do. There's so many different ways to do it. And by no means is this like a strategy episode, but it is about moving deeper into your destiny as yourself and as a business, going deeper into why you're here, getting more connected into what your purpose is. And that is why more people are knocking on the door and they want to come in. So let's let them in. All right, let's get into our five messages. Message number one, talk to me like I like you. So this is your audience member saying, get on that screen or wherever you're talking to your people, whether you're writing to them or you're on camera, however it is that your business is talking to them, talk as if they already like you. This is very interesting for me. And I know that this is very subtle sometimes, right? Like you get online or you write something or you're talking and you are very quietly sometimes changing your energy and changing your message to be a little bit more accepted or a little bit more liked. It's so subtle. I think for some of us, you might really, really feel it. You might be like, oh, when I get on camera, I totally change. But then for others, it's just like a subtle change. And your audience is saying like, just assume I already like you. And what that means is like, you're going to come on the way you would come on if you were talking to the person who loves you the most. If you were talking to your best friend, the person that really lets you be fully who you are, that's how they would like to see you. That's how the audience really likes to see you. And I thought that that was a great just point of focus that we can think about before we go into whatever it is that we're creating. So if you're writing something, even if you're writing something that is more marketing or salesy, like obviously I know there's techniques and things that we need to do, but it's okay to just assume that they want to hear from you. Assume that they want to sit down and hear you talk. Assume that they like you, you know, because what that's going to do is going to attract those exact people. Of course, it's going to repel all the other people that are be like, who does this girl think she is? Like, I don't like her at all, you know, because what's happening is I'm giving off this vibe of like, oh, of course you like me. Of course you want to sit with me. Of course you want to hear what I have to say. And that is, of course, going to also trigger the people that is not a vibrational match for them. And by doing what we do, which is in the middle, is like, I'm hoping that everybody likes this. I'm hoping that they like me, that I'm palatable. We kind of stay in this middle place that is not either rejection, but it's not also like total excitement and acceptance. So it's this kind of middle place, and it's that purgatory feeling. So if you feel like you've been in purgatory when it comes to your community or your audience, it's because of this very, very subtle thing that you're doing right before you go to communicate. So I would say more than assume that I like you, I would say communicate and think about the person who loves and accepts you the most. If, for example, you already have a customer that is like this, that is even better. Like, think about them before you go and start communicating with the greater, wider audience. And I think it's just a vibe, you know? It's like, it just lets, like, when you think, like, this person already likes me, it allows you to be present. You don't have to manipulate or censor yourself. Like, you get to be fully present in your body and just let it rip and, like, let yourself go, which that is the most magnetic thing anybody can do, right? Like, the worst is to be having a conversation with a person who you can tell is in your head, whether they're not paying attention to you or they're trying to think about how they're going to answer you, or they're thinking about, like, does she think I'm pretty? You know, like, all these things that are going on in our head while we're trying to listen to somebody. Like, what we truly want is presence, and that is so magnetic. And that connection is really what attracts people. So it's kind of a bit of a swagger kind of feeling, like, oh yeah, of course you like me. Like, of course you want to hear what I have to say. I was watching on YouTube the Call Her Daddy podcast because she was interviewing a couple people that I really like. So I was watching it on my just relaxing, restful days in my bed. And she does a couple ads, and on her podcast, she actually does the ads where you can, like, see her, like, reading and, you know, whatever, so, talking about the ad. And it was so interesting to watch her because I was like, wow, you really believe in this. I'm pretty sure she was selling Domino's pizza, I wanted to say. I'm like, you got to have some, like, cojones to, like, sell Domino's these days, because, like, you know, whatever, like, you know what's in there. And she just, like, full on goes for it. And I'm like, really watching her energy, and I'm like, she believes that her people want to hear from her, and that, like, that she is fully accepted when she says this. And, like, that is what makes her so magnetic. Like, she truly, truly feels that way. And it's a swagger. And I bet people are buying Domino's because of it. If I have to order bad pizza, I'm probably going to order Domino's, because I remember hearing it on Call Her Daddy, and she was showing up so fully in it. Do you get what I mean? So that is why, yeah, that was why that was the first message from your audience. Message number two, your audience said, meet me where I already am and meet me where I am disarmed. So this felt like a message about, like, how to expand the audience, like, how to bring more people into, how to find more people that are into whatever it is that you're selling, you know, whatever your business is about. And I saw this as, like, going, I saw this very, this was very visual when this message was coming through. And it felt to me like you're going to a festival about a topic where your person already is, and you purchased a booth, right? Like, they're already wandering a wellness festival, let's say, and they're so excited to hear about your offer because it falls into their lifestyle anyways. They're disarmed because maybe they paid to be there, they chose to be there, they're excited to be at the festival, so they're not thrown off by you being there. Does that make sense? So there was a lot of messages I felt like in this one. Meet me where I am. I felt like that also at another level means, like, I might have a lot of knowledge in intuition because I've been studying intuition for many years now. But like any expert or like a doctor, I might go above people's head maybe when I talk about it. And I am not really meeting my person or my audience where they are at. So this was out of like respect, like meet me where I'm at. And it almost felt like a kindergartner saying, like, meet me at the kindergarten level, not at the eighth grade level that maybe you're used to talking at. So meet me there. So it wasn't just meeting me in a physical place, but meeting me at that level, that is actually like what's going to call more people to you. Meet me where I am disarmed. disarmed, right? Like, it means like I am cozy and comfortable and open to you coming to chat with me. I feel like that is what a lot of us don't like about social media these days, because you know, you go on and, for example, Instagram, you know that you see like one person that's on your feed and then like three ads, and then one person on your feed and then three ads. So you're already going on Instagram a little bit like ready for battle, because you know not everything there is in your best interest, and like you have to discern as you scroll, and you are more armed at that time. Think about the places where you're more disarmed. This is why when I talk on podcasts of people that have amazing communities, they are already disarmed. They're like, oh, I'm listening to Olivia and I love Olivia and I can just sit back and chill here. And then some girl, Nikki Novo, comes on and they're more open to me because they are disarmed. They're not thinking that in the middle of the episode, you know, Olivia's going to let in like 10 different ads that are not really for her audience, right? So there's a little bit of a cozy and a comfortableness where they are open to me coming on. And that is the best place to find your people. Does that make sense? I definitely also felt like your audience, your people are already gathering, and they almost felt underground to me. And we're going to see this come up in the other messages. Underground to me felt like, and I think this is why I'm excited about audience growth now in 2026, because people are gathering on the most like niche topics you could think about. Like, you know, when Star Wars used to be like a geeky thing, you know, or Pokemon or those like geeky kind of things that are obviously huge. That's what this feels like. Like, people are gathering on very specific niches, and they are meeting in person, and they are meeting right now. Like, your people are hanging out together right now in this moment. And that's why they're saying like, meet me there, like meet me where I am already at. I feel like a lot of us who are listening have a little bit of an allergy to wanting to see and meet people in person. I have been saying this for probably 2 years now, you guys, if you listen to me regularly. People are in person. You have to go in person. Like, you have to travel, get out of your house, go to things. You have to see people in person. As much as I know we all want to create like these massive online businesses, I really see like where they're at, they are meeting. So find out where those are. And they, you know, might not be the biggest meetings. I think that, of course, it's always nice to get on a really big stage because you can hit more, you know, birds with one stone. But don't be afraid to do the small 12 people gathering, the 10 people gathering, like those all add up. And yep, that's where they're at. They're already hanging out and you're missing the party. Hey there, friend. I want to personally invite you to a special workshop I'm teaching this Friday. This year, I'm intentionally expanding my audience and growing my community, not from hustle or pressure, but from a deep inner knowing that it's time. And I realized I don't want to do this alone. So this Friday, January 9th at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'm hosting a live workshop called Grow Your Audience in 1 Year. That way we can do this together. I'll be sharing what I know works from years of growing my audience, plus new guidance that's been coming through in meditation about what's actually going to work in 2026. This isn't a strategy-heavy, do-more kind of workshop. It's about growing in a way that feels timely and true for you in this season that you're currently in. The workshop is hosted inside my Clarity app. If you're already a member, you'll get the Zoom details there. And if you're not, you can join Clarity to attend live or watch the replay. And you'll also get access to monthly group readings, intuition practice circles, weekly extended Monday readings, and a full library of meditations and workshops. So if your heart is nudging you to be seen, heard, and supported as you expand yourself this year, I would love to do this alongside you. Details to join are below in the show notes, or you can just go to clarity.nikkinovo.com to register for the workshop. I can't wait to see you there. Message number 3. I was being told in this moment to watch my words, watch your words, because what I was getting from, I don't know, the audience spirits was that there are tiers in audience, and I was supposed to explain this. Okay, so your first tier is your audience, and audience watches. So think huge like mainstream podcast. They have large audiences that are just watching them. And that works for them because they can get paid through another client because of all these people are watching, right? Then the second tier is community. And I was getting that community engages. Communities also bring in money. Audiences at a certain level don't always bring in money. If they're really big audiences, they do bring in money. If they're smaller audiences, they are just kind of like watching. So a lot of what we see on TikTok these days, right? Like you don't necessarily have to follow somebody you love. You're just kind of like looking for the entertainment, right? And sure, that's great. Like they're getting eyeballs, but those eyeballs don't necessarily translate to money. My kids watch YouTube shorts and I see these people put like so much effort into these videos. And I'm like, my kids are giving them zero. Sure, they're giving them views, but unless they have a ton of views, you know, like it's really hard to monetize that. So level one is audience and audience watch. Then level two is community. Community engages. So community is, oh, hey, I like Nikki. That was amazing. Thank you so much. I love your shirt. Reaching out to other class members. Hey, guys, like I'm in Orlando. Is anybody in the audience in Orlando? Do you guys want to meet up? Right? Like community engages. Oh my God, Nikki's doing an in-person thing. Like, let's go. So that is your second level community, which is, I would say, like the most fun place is the community. But it's okay to kind of put your North Star on audience because it's okay to have a lot, like a lot of audience members will transfer into community. And audience is like the widest net you can set. And then from there, you convert some audience members to community. Then after community, you have customers. And the customers are obviously like the ones that give you the money. They're the ones exchanging and like purchasing the things. There was a time in my business where I only focused on customers, but later I realized that there was value at every level. Like there was value at the people that are in the audience that do not spend a dollar with me, that they will never, you know, that they might never buy something with me, or they might buy from me 4 years from now. That there was always value in that crowd because I don't know if you guys grew up clubbing like I did in Miami, and there was this thing about like these nightclubs in Miami and that they would hold back people from getting in and they would try to make a very big crowd outside of the club because a big crowd looked like that club was amazing. And sometimes you would go into the club and there'd be like cinco gatos there, you know, like five cats. And you're like, wow, this looked from the outside, it was crowded and it's definitely not crowded. But that crowd outside adds value to the club, right? So the same thing, like I think about servicing my audience member that might not pay for anything just as much as the client or the customer that is purchasing, because I always feel like the customer, first of all, is going to get more access to me than obviously somebody in the audience. Like, you know, a lot of times, like, these are people that are paying for a reading or, you know, paying for a program with me. They're going to get obviously deeper connection and accessibility. But I also think that they, in very much ways, are like funding the movement, right? So like their money basically like funds the company so that the company can make the content and put it out and all that. So in a way, like they're also donating to the person that maybe can't afford to work with me or is just not ready to work with me deeply. So I feel like it all adds up and we're all part of a bigger body. And I think that this is like a mistake that sometimes we make is that we only like focus on the customer. And I think there's a season for that. Like I focused only on my customer for a while because the company, in order to like to stay alive, it needed to make money, right? So I was like, okay, like super customer focused. And now we have operations and certain things and structures that we have in place that like still allow us to be customer focused. We are still customer focused, but we can build upon that and also be audience focused and obviously be community focused, which I would say community is the most fun. So if growing your audience doesn't sound like the right vibe for you, you can say growing my community. And community are great because they're kind of a mix of both. They're like a mix of people that like really, I would say community is like the fangirl, you know, like they're the people that like really love what you're making, like all your free stuff, but they are also the people that are buying with you. So they're kind of a mix of the two. So yeah, we need to watch our words, and it's important because depending on what tier we focus on, like that's what's going to grow. And I think, again, you focus on the tier that is meant to grow in this season. For me personally, I know that the tier is audience, but I have grown community and customers before. Like that has been in my past, and now my current is the audience. Message number four, to 10x your audience, you need to simplify your message. I'm going to go very slow on this one because I want to be as true as possible to what came through. There was so much coming through in this one message. Okay. And I feel like it's a little complicated, even though it's like simplify. So I asked this question like, okay, if I have 10 people on my email list, let's say, if I have 100 people who follow me, if I have 10,000 people who follow me, how can I 10x that? So multiply that by 10, right? So if I have 10 people in my audience, then times 10 is 100. So how do I make that huge leap? Not just like, how do I go from 10 to 12 people or to 14 people? I really wanted to see like the leap, the quantum leap. That's really what 10x means. And what I was getting is that in order to do that, the message of whatever you're messaging would have to be super, super simplified. So we talked about this a little bit about like the expert talking maybe at an eighth grade level, but the audience really asking to be spoken to at the kindergarten level. And I would say that this is where artists and creatives have the most resistance, myself included. The artist like wants to stay within what is coming through them in this moment, like what's working for them right now, what they're excited about, what they're passionate about, like what they're feeling right now. And sometimes it is a bit of a burden to then go from the level that they're at and speak to the kindergartner and like change and simplify something that maybe feels very deep and very colorful and creative and simplify it into something that feels almost commercial. So that's why a lot of us don't do it. But I was getting, the guides were saying that if you're looking for that kind of mainstream success, like that is what's necessary. And not everybody needs this. And not everybody needs this right now. Like some artists do very, very well creatively at a certain level. They don't have to be pop music and like still have a great following. Like it's those bands that you love that like you're obsessed with, but when you mention it to your brother's like, oh my gosh, yeah, no, never heard of them, right? Because they're not the, I don't know, the big names of the world, right? They're a little bit more niche. They're speaking to people that are at their level. And sometimes there's not that many people at that level, as opposed to like a poppy hit that a lot of people can consume that. A lot of people are at that level. That's kind of like speaking to the kindergartner. So if you feel like you are meant for that, I would consider this message. If you don't feel like, you know what, I know I'm going to have an audience, but it doesn't have to be mainstream. It doesn't have to be Kim Kardashian or Mel Robbins. Like it doesn't have to be that. Then I'm going to share like the second part of this message. But I would say if you feel like you want to grow in that way, notice your resistance to simplifying your message and notice what comes up and notice how you may judge that. And some of that judgment is coming from like not knowing how to simplify it and almost feeling afraid that when you simplify it, you're going to be disconnected or that you're going to get bored, because simplification is also similar to having like a couple hits as a musician and having to play that same hit over and over again, because like that's where people are at, right? Like I think about Pearl Jam, I'm dating myself, but like Pearl Jam during my time had like some really great hits. They have continued on and they play a bunch of music that nobody other than their super fans really know. And if they were to go, well, I saw them in Lollapalooza. At Lollapalooza, they had to be a little bit more mainstream. They had to play their main hits, because like not everybody at Lollapalooza was a super fan, but they knew Pearl Jam, like the radio version of Pearl Jam. But then at their own concerts, they can do just like their songs that only their super fans know, right? And sometimes it's hard to be the band that has to constantly play the radio hits and not play some music that might feel deeper to them. You get what I mean? So that is why many of us have resistance to simplifying the message. What does it mean to simplify the message? To me, I was understanding it as like looking at your message, finding a couple like pillars, like being like, oh, these are the three things that I repeat over and over again. And then finding like almost little taglines or phrases that are repetitive and that can be clipped and chopped up. Think about like those perfect phrases that are sometimes said and are chopped up and put on, you know, TikTok or whatever, that they're just so easy to consume. You'd have to really think about your messaging that way rather than maybe just saying what's coming through. So, and I don't think it's one or the other. I think you can be a Pearl Jam, right? Like where you have the super fans and they are so excited to hear. I mean, I think Taylor Swift is like that. Actually, Taylor Swift comes up later here, because if you are a Swiftie, you know all these weird songs that she's made. And if you're not, you know, just like the few hits like Ophelia, which is like for somebody like me, but I'm not a Swiftie. I don't know all her songs. So I think you can have both, but if you want to go to that more mainstream, you have to think about making some hits. You have to, and to me, those hits are these like phrases, these simplified pieces that speak to your genre, right? It's like, if I know I'm in pop, if that's my genre, there are these like simplified rhythms that I know speak to that genre. And if I just make a few of them, then that'll allow me to do seven pieces that I don't have to follow those rules. Does that make sense? So kind of seeing how you can balance that within you, how can you find those simplifications? Like how can you find those things in your industry that can spread? And yeah, finding that. Now, you don't have to do this. I was definitely seeing that the other option is to grow within a niche. And actually, funnier enough, I was really showing that even somebody like Taylor Swift, even though she is massive, she's kind of niche in a weird way, because the majority of her people are super fans. Like, and she has grown into what she is with just a bunch of super fans for a long, long time. Not everybody likes her. She's not Michael Jackson. You know, she's not Whitney Houston. She is like very specific to like kind of a certain type of person. And the more she leaned into that and became their leader, their charismatic, obsessive leader, then the obsession grew, and that obsession created a lot of momentum and brought people more into the quote unquote cult. Does that make sense? So you'd have to be comfortable with becoming that kind of leader. It's a charismatic leader. It's a leader that is like, I see you and I represent you, and I'm willing to take on the responsibility of representing you. So the even like a Taylor Swift or people that have large followings, like they have a lot of responsibility. And sometimes we don't want our audiences to grow because we don't want to take on that responsibility. I was watching, I haven't seen both episodes, but I was seeing the first episode on Disney Plus of, I don't even know what it is, Sophie, who's our resident Swiftie. She's like, she's listening to this and just dying the whole time that I'm talking about her girl so much. But anyways, it was Disney Plus. It was like a docuseries of Taylor Swift that just came out. And in the first one, I didn't know this, but I guess like when she was doing her big tour recently in Vienna, I want to say, somebody was murdered, I want to say. And that is a giant responsibility. Like for her to be like, I have to hold that emotion. I have to move through that emotion. I have to hold it for the whole audience, for the whole community. I have to speak to the person, to their family, excuse me. That's a lot of responsibility to hold. And when they showed it, her going through it, I felt like she did it with such grace, with such leadership. Like she held it, she moved through it. She faced it. Like, it was very, very impressive. And a lot of us don't grow our audiences because we're not ready or willing to have that kind of responsibility. And I'm not saying you have to have the responsibility of somebody in your community possibly getting murdered, but I'm saying that you'll have to be able to face hard things within the community, and not everybody wants that. And I don't think not everybody needs to have that as well. But they're partnered, like that niche, like obsessed merch buying group is because the leader is charismatic and willing to hold the community on her shoulders. Like, she's really willing to take responsibility for the community and to represent them. Representing them means that she is going first. So if she is a girl that came from a certain background and didn't have any chances of, you know, living into her dreams, but little by little she lives into her dreams, let's do it as a weight loss example. I'm an overweight person, I'm 100 pounds overweight, let's say, and I represent all these people that have been struggling to lose weight and cannot, and I've done all the things and are being, you know, judged for how they look and all this kind of stuff. And all of a sudden I start putting in some work and I figure something out and I, you know, figure out a way to like lose this weight, and I let you see this journey. I go first. Like, I represented you. Like, I went through this first, and now you have hope that you can do it too, right? So that's why in your work, it is important to never lose touch of the hero's journey and showing the hero's journey and showing how you are going first in this new season of life. Like, maybe at first you went by losing the weight, right? And then maybe, okay, now you're at your good weight. And then what's the second season? Maybe the second season is really trying to find out what I love. And like, I'm going to bring you on that journey and I'm going to hit my goal. Like, I am going to find what I love and I'm going to bring you along. And now you see me go along for that too. So it's a leader that doesn't have it all figured out, doesn't have it all together, but brings you along on the journey. And that, I think, is why this documentation thing that we do matters. And this is what connects you to the audience. So there was a lot there. I hope I did it justice. I think I did. Okay, let's go into message number 5. Lastly, message number 5. I asked your audience, what do they need? Because I think when we're running a business, there are so many different needs. Like, it gets really confusing sometimes to think about, like, what is most important? Like, yeah, like, what am I supposed to be doing here? And how can I really serve and support? And you can get into the weeds of this question. The audience to me is the greater picture. It's the higher vantage point. It's the bigger vision. It's the larger understanding of the business's purpose. Like, that is what the audience inspires. And that's why the audience and thinking about the audience is so important, which, little plug, on Clarity app, we have a How to Read the Energy of Your Business series. And we talk about how to read into your audience and why it's important. So that's there in case you guys want to join. Okay. So what the audience really wants from you is to be seen. They want to be seen for where they are and what they're currently going through, or who they are as well. So that makes sense, right? Like, let's say you have a mommy brand, like seeing them in their mommy era. Like, and that might be like bringing up sleep issues, bringing up how you feel disconnected from your partner at the season, like whatever that may be. Like, they are being seen through you having those conversations, and you can directly tell them that you see them. But also, I was getting that, like, the best way is like they like to feel witnessed by seeing a courageous leader be courageous in like whatever season this audience is in. So for example, if I was with a mommy brand and I had, you know, young ones, and I'm talking about how disconnected I feel from my partner during the season, and maybe I'm talking about it, maybe I'm interviewing my partner, that is obviously like the leader going through it and the leader, you know, talking about it. It has nothing to do about the audience. The leader's just doing it for herself, let's say. but the audience feels seen and they are witnessed in that moment. So that is the connection between the audience and the leader. They're all on the same page. They're all part of the same body. And that's why those audiences do the best when they're like really, really connected to the leader, as opposed to like if the leader has already passed that season in life, like that's where it goes bad. Let's say I made a brand about being a young mom, but now I'm, you know, in my mid-40s and my kids are teenagers and I'm still trying to talk about toddler life, that disconnection is very, very hard. The best is when the audience grows with you and the leader and the audience are close and they're part of the same era and they're part of the same community and that they can grow in these eras together. Okay, there's a lot of Taylor Swift here going on, guys. But that's what they want from you. So I think I share that because, like I said, we all get into the weeds in our business. Oh, is this quality right? Is this video right? Is this like product right? You know, did I choose the right place? Did I choose the right price? Like, those things do not matter to the audience, community, and customer as much as you think. What like their number one priority is like, do you see me? Are you witnessing me? Do I feel like you see me, like you know me, like you see where I am at? That is what they want from you. So if we keep that as a priority, then you can kind of everything else and can guide that phrase can basically guide all the other decisions. And it can guide because you can say like, okay, we're going to price this thing. And maybe it's like, I know my audience very well. I know where they're at. And like, I'm going to price it this way because I know where they're at. So, you know, like you still get to make the very basic and grounded decisions in the business that need to be made, but they need to be made from that understanding that like what they really want is to be seen by you. And that's what should be guiding the business. All right, friends. I really enjoyed this one. As you heard me announce earlier on this week on Friday, which is tomorrow, I will be teaching a how to grow your audience in 1 year workshop in the Clarity app. So we're going to go deeper into a lot of these things and give you a little bit more structure around it and give you even more information on how your audience wants to grow this year. So I can't wait to share it with you. I hope you will join me. And if you're already in the Clarity app, I'll see you there. But if you want to join, just go ahead and look at the show notes below and we'll give you a link to join me there. Sending you much love always, and I'm so excited for your growth. I will see you in the next episode. That's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. I love you guys so much. If you're called to it, please leave me a review, subscribe, and share it with a friend. That is the best way to show your gratitude for this show. And if you want to go deeper with me, check out my app, Clarity. Until next time, much love always.